on page 134 in the Kuzari. And we were talking about religious persecution and religious responses to religious persecution. Every single religion that has experienced persecution has found a way to come to terms with and to even glorify that suffering in the name of religion. You can think about all religious groups that have gone through iterations of suffering, whether it's the Tibetans or the Muslims or the Christians living through periods of crusades. There's a certain glorification of the iteration of suffering, that it was necessary for purging or necessary to bring us to our level of greatness. And early Christians were able to find glory in that as well. And so therefore, this is the response that Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi has to the accusation that the lowly state of the Jewish people is in some way indicative of their lowly spiritual level. It's not that we've been rejected by God if we're the persecuted people, but rather this is a sign that we are really chosen by God in a sort of paradoxical way, because only truly a chosen people can be subject to so much divine scrutiny. Because the closer you are to the Ribbono Shel Olam, the more that he scrutinizes you, the more that he is exacting with you in a very very harsh way sometimes, because like the Pasuk says, V'saviv nisa aron ma'od, that the Chazal say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu medakdek im chasidov kechut ha'saira, that God is exacting with his pious ones like a hair's breadth. That if the closer you are to Hashem, the more he scrutinizes and the more he pays attention. If I have a child who is a prodigy and excels in everything, so then my expectations of that child are far greater than a child who's only average. And if the child who's average comes home with a B or a C, okay, nunu, please try better next time. If my A plus student comes home with a B or a C, then I come down hard and I'm very harsh. I say, what happened to you? What's wrong? You know, how can you behave this way? So the persecuted state of and the lowly state and the fact that we're scattered all in all different parts of the world and we're not in our homeland, that's not a reflection of the lowliness of the Jewish people, but rather it's a reflection of the fact that we are God's chosen and that he scrutinizes us more. And as a matter of fact, there's a whole theology that's built upon the fact that because we are the chosen people and because Hashem can never forsake us, he punishes us in piecemeal fashion to be able to expiate our sin before we become so filled with sin that we are beyond redemption. So Hashem constantly finds ways to present us with suffering so that we can remain his chosen people. That's all part of the underlying discussion over here. And so we come now to page 134, and Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi points out that other religions glorify pain and suffering. Christians say in the book of Matthew that when someone slaps you on your right cheek, turn your left cheek to him. And if someone takes your coat, give him your shirt as well. And it's a sign of piety to endure great suffering and torture for the sake of your beliefs. And that's the glory that he finds in paragraph 113. Now, comes along the challenge of the Khazar king to all that the rabbi has said. And this is where I want to make a connection to another part of the Kuzari, as you'll see in just a moment. But the Kuzari said, and we're in paragraph 114 on page 134, the Kuzari said, that would be so if your lowly state would be of your own making. But in your case, it has been forced upon you. Were you given the opportunity, you would kill your enemies. So what does this mean? The Khazar king says, you don't appreciate and you don't glorify your suffering. You kvetch and you complain about having to live in this galus, about having to live as the lowest on the food chain, about having to be the persecuted people. You don't accept it. You don't accept your lowly state with humility and with love of Hashem. But rather, you're constantly waking up and complaining. And instead of accepting the decree of the divine, and instead of accepting the fact that this is a way of Hashem raising your level and expunging your sins and preparing you for the redemption, what do you do instead? You kvetch, you complain, and you don't appreciate that this is part of a divine plan. So is that a fair criticism? If I was Reb Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev, you know, the famous Hasidic master, who had a habit of arguing before God, you know, then perhaps my response to this would be, it's enough that the Jews suffer. So what if they complain? The fact that they complain is a sign that they believe in God. The fact that they can argue and have a disputation with God means that at least they believe that there's a disputant that they can engage. But that's not the way, that's not the approach that Rabbi Yehuda Halevi takes. Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, in a couple of places in the Kuzari, fesses up to the shortcomings of the Jewish people. And he says, in paragraph 115, some of the most famous words of the whole Sefer Kuzari, Matsasa mekom cherpasi melech Kuzar. You have found, or you have discovered my shame, Khazar king. If most of us would have accepted our lowliness with subservience to God and his Torah, then divinity would never have left us for so long. Instead, only a minority of us have succeeded in doing this. Meaning, what he's saying is that most Jews, when presented with pain and suffering, do not appreciate and acknowledge and recognize that this is part of a divine plan of retribution. Most Jews who are presented with pain and suffering and exile and our lowly state, basically kvetch and complain and don't acknowledge that this is from the hand of God. And that's a problem. Yeah.
I don't see any contradiction, because you're responding two different ways. You're responding intellectually and you're responding emotionally. For instance, yesterday I was at the dentist. While he's doing it, I'm saying, ow, ow, that hurts. At the end of the whole thing, I say thank you, because intellectually I know he's helping me, but viscerally I'm reacting while he's doing it in pain. So of course I'm gonna say, no, stop. So the Jews are the same way. Emotionally, we have to kvetch and cry out because we're in pain. We wouldn't be human if we didn't. But intellectually, we know what Hashem is doing for us.
It's a good defense of the Jewish people. I would tell you, find a different dentist, though. unless it's a relative or something. But
you understand what I'm saying.
Of course. No, your point is very well taken. But the Rabbi Yehuda Halevi is saying no. He's saying that many Jews do not make theological peace with where we find ourselves. Most Jews, he says, don't really reconcile themselves to where we find ourselves, even on an intellectual level. He's acknowledging it's just not taking place. We as the Jewish people have not tried to make peace with where we are in life. And this is a fascinating reflection about society and the society in which Rabbi Yehuda Halevi lives. He's basically acknowledging that despite the fact that we have a very vibrant Jewish community, the reality is that most Jews are not theologically intact. Most Jews really don't see the divine plan and don't acknowledge it. So it's a problem. It's not like this. We're living in a new era where it's only today that the majority of Jews are not are not completely with the program. And this was going on for centuries, even in Rabbi Yehuda Levi's time. You see that most, he says, most Jews have not been able to make peace with the downtrodden state of the Jewish people. But, he says, here's the saving grace of the Jewish people. And here's his defense of the Jewish people. Nevertheless, even the majority receive their reward for enduring the yoke of exile, regardless of whether it is voluntary or involuntary. And how's that? For ultimately, any Jew could immediately become a friend of his oppressor by simply uttering a word. Every Jew has the opportunity to escape persecution by becoming a Muslim or by becoming a Christian. And the fact that Jews throughout history have held steadfast to just identifying as Jewish is the saving grace of Jews in every generation. Even the Jews who are not theologically intact, even the Jews who are not complete ma'aminim, who are not complete believers, the very fact, and this is in our generation and in the generation of the Shoah and in many, many other generations, the fact during the Spanish Inquisition all you needed to do was to convert to Christianity. During Islamic persecution, all you needed to do was to accept Muhammad as your prophet. But the fact that Jews refused to do so and instead picked up with their families and fled or allowed themselves to be killed by burning at the stake is in itself the greatest defense of the Jewish people, even the Jews who are not so theologically at peace with the divine plan. The fact that we do not do this is not forgotten by the righteous judge. However, and this is with all that defense, were we to endure this exile in our lowliness for the sake of Hashem in the proper fashion, we would be the pride of the generation that will arise with the coming of the Mashiach, and we would hasten his salvation for which we so yearn. If we were to accept and to acknowledge that we're here in Galus because of our own sins, u'mipnei chata'enu galinu me'artzenu, like we say in the Musaf service on Rosh Chodesh, because of our sins, we have been exiled from our land. Benisrachaknu me'al admasenu, and in the Musaf on Yantav as well, and we have become distant from our soil. Right? And we no longer, it's because of our sins, mipnei chata'enu, it's because of our sins, we're the ones that are responsible, and it is only through our acts of merit that we will be able to come back to Zion. If we were all able to acknowledge that and to humbly accept that we're here because of our actions and not because God is unjust, then we would hasten the Yeshua. We would hasten the coming of Mashiach. That in itself, that acknowledgement. So the very fact that we can sit down and mourn on Yom Kippur, Tisha B'Av, and acknowledge that it was through our own behavior that the Babylonians or the Romans destroyed our temples, that in itself is acting towards the hastening of the coming of Mashiach. Now, Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi is pretty hard on his diaspora community. He's writing this, as we know, he's writing this in Spain in the 12th century. And he sees a community that is flourishing, but is also very much in danger of assimilation. He sees a Jewish community that is somewhat uncomfortable with its Jewishness. And remember we talked about this when we tried to frame the whole book of the Kuzari in the first place. The reason why he's writing this book in the first place is to try to restore Jewish pride to his people, to his community. And he recognizes that Jews are sort of not comfortable in their own skin, that there's an effort that is afoot within his community to try to more make the Jewish community a little bit more like their Gentile counterparts.
Normal.
Or more like their...
Normal.
To become more normal, right? And sort of to shun the old ways and to try to become more progressive in who we are. This is one time where we find Rabbi Yehuda Levi actively criticizing his people. And you'll notice that he doesn't do it very often, but he can't help himself. On the one hand, he's trying to restore Jewish pride, but at the same time, he's got to give a little bit of mussar to his compatriots and say, listen, don't be embarrassed about who you are. Acknowledge that you're a Jew, and also acknowledge and accept that the reason why we find ourselves in a downtrodden state is precisely because of what you're trying to do, which is to cover up your Jewishness, to try to hide the fact that it is through the mistakes that we have made that we ended up here in the first place. So try to accept who you are. Try to accept the fact that if we find that the Jewish people are downtrodden, it's not because we're Jewish, but it's adarab, it's because we're trying to shirk our Jewishness off of ourselves. There's one other time that I recall offhand that Reb Yehuda Halevi is so open in his criticism of his people. And that's, I'll tell you where it is. It's in the second essay, paragraph 24. So if I can ask you to turn there for just a moment, and you'll see momentarily why this is very much on my mind. It's on page 183 in the Kuzari. And it's prefaced on page 182 by the Kuzari, the Khazar king, once again speaking critically of the Jewish people and behaving hypocritically. So just like in our section, we saw that the Kuzari king is critical of the Jews' hypocrisy because he says, well, you claim that being in a downtrodden state is something glorious and something that to take pride in, and yet you don't accept it in a very humble way, the way you should. And the Khazar king says, you're right. You know, that's a sign of our hypocrisy. Here we have a similar example. If you take a look on page 182, the Khazar king says in subparagraph number 2, I see that all your knee-bending and bowing toward Eretz Yisrael is mere flattery or some insincere custom. Your forefathers chose to live in Eretz Yisrael rather than in their birthplaces. And they even preferred a life of wandering in Eretz Yisrael over a settled life in their homelands. And this was their choice despite the fact that the divine presence had not yet been seen there. Talking about Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov choosing to live in Eretz Yisrael with lives of privation, despite the fact that life would be difficult in Eretz Yisrael, and despite the fact that they had to leave their birth homes, you know, their comforts and work custom. And this was even before the Torah was given, before the Shekhinah rests in Eretz Yisrael. Indeed, the land at that time was teeming with immorality and idolatry. Nevertheless, their only desire was to dwell there. Even during times of famine, they would leave only by divine command. When Avram Avinu left, he left because Hashem told him, go down to Egypt. When Yaakov Avinu leaves, he only leaves because Hashem tells him to leave. But further, they desire to have their remains transferred to Eretz Yisrael. And that's Yosef and Yaakov Avinu give charge to transfer our remains to Eretz Yisrael. So you see this yearning for Eretz Yisrael despite the fact that they were foreigners, despite the fact that they were chutznikim. And so why is it, you rabbi, that you talk about the importance of Eretz Yisrael and you say it in your davening, and you say, Modim anachnu lach, and v'sechazenu einenu b'shuv chalitzion berachamim, that we look forward to a time when you return your presence to Zion and you bow down to the east and pay all of this lip service to the importance of Eretz Yisrael, and yet it's all hypocrisy. Because you're not trying to make Aliyah. You're not trying to leave Spain and go to Eretz Yisrael. So what does the king say? Is he going to defend his people? Is he going to defend his Spanish compatriots, the Jews of the diaspora? Not at all. Page 183, the rabbi says, you have shamed me, king of Khazaria, almost the exact same language. Hovashtani melech Khazar. You have put me to shame. It is this very sin which prevented us from achieving that which God promised us for the second temple. As it says, rejoice and be happy, daughter of Zion, for I'm coming. And when we cover this section, we'll go more in depth about the references that Rabbi Yehuda Halevi makes to the construction of the Second Temple. However, I do want to point out that I don't think that it's a coincidence that these are the two places in the Kuzari where Rabbi Yehuda Halevi outright criticizes the Jewish community of the diaspora. What's the similarity between these two sections? Can you find a common link between the two? Here we are in the first section, paragraph 115, versus section 2, paragraph 24. Take a look at the texts and the contexts of the texts, and tell me the connection between the two. Yes?
A lack of trust in Hashem.
A lack of trust in Hashem.
In both cases leads you to second guess whether it's worth it. Right, so you sort of just go through the motions.
And we're hypocritical about our behavior. We claim to appreciate the being in Golus, and in reality we're bitter about it. We claim to want to be in Eretz Yisrael, but in reality we don't really make that much effort to make Aliyah. So we're not being honest, we're not being straight. But both of them, as you can very clearly see, both of them are about the diaspora experience. The common link between these two sections is that Rabbi Yehuda Halevi is extremely Zion-centric. He's extremely focused on the importance of the Jewish people escaping from the Golus, escaping from the diaspora. It's one thing to accept our state in the diaspora with humility and to realize that we don't belong here, and to realize that if we're downtrodden, it's because of our own sins. If we would acknowledge that, then we would actually try to do something about it by davening to Hashem, by trying to change our lowly state, and making ourselves a better people. And the same thing is true about our prayers to Eretz Yisrael. If we would truly, truly yearn for Zion the way that we're supposed to, we would be there. They're really the two sides of the same coin. Experiencing and acknowledging that the diaspora is a bitter experience, is a bitter pill, and acknowledging that it's our fault that we're here, is the one side of the same coin of for the diaspora Jew. That's one side of it. The other side is to yearn for Zion. Because at the same time that you acknowledge that the diaspora is a bitter experience and that it's our fault that we're here, then that also causes you to yearn for Zion. To yearn to be reconciled with Hashem. To realize that there's a future for us awaiting for us with the coming of Mashiach, with the incoming redemption. And yet we don't do that. We're not thinking about it in national term in a national context. We've become complacent. And we're not focused on our national destiny. So this is a problem for Rabbi Yehuda Halevi. This is the biggest criticism that we find him making of the Jewish community in Spain, where he lives. When we think about the greatness of the Jewish people in the 20th century and the 21st century, I think that we're not too much different from the Jews of Spain in the 12th century. There's going to be a Rebbe Yehuda Halevi, whether we identify that person or not, but the voice of Rebbe Yehuda Halevi is still reverberating to this day to our community and is speaking to each and every one of us and is saying, what are you doing here in Golus? Are you acknowledging that this is not the place where you belong? Are you acknowledging that the fact that the Jewish people are scattered across the globe is unnatural for us? It's not where we belong? Are you truly yearning for Zion? And like he says later on in the section, in section 2, on page 185, he says, and therefore our recitations of such phrases as Hishtachavu lahar kodsho, bow down to the mount of his holiness, or Hishtachavu lahadom raglov, bow down to his footstool, or Hamachazir shechina solitzion, blessed are you who returns his divine presence to Zion, and the like, are merely like the warble of the mina and other birds such as parrots who imitate human voices. We do not think about what we are saying when we say them and others like them. It is as you say, Khazar King. So think about that. Think about that as we continue along the Kuzari, that Rabbi Yehuda Halevi is willing to instill his countrymen with Jewish pride and to try to set them straight. But even someone whose whole project is to try to rehabilitate the Jewish people of Spain and prevent assimilation cannot avert his eye from the mussar that he needs to give to his people, and is trying to tell them, Chevra, we can do better. We have to stop the hypocrisy. If part of our national theology and our national destiny is to acknowledge that Golos is not where we belong, and to acknowledge that we are destined for greatness as a unified people in Eretz Yisrael, whenever we have the opportunity to do something about it, we need to step forward. And to whatever extent we're not actually trying to do that, and we're just sticking to our own Dalet Amos, and doing our personal mitzvahs, and not worrying about our national destiny, we're shirking our responsibility. That's where it is. That's what Rabbi Yehuda Halevi is trying to communicate to us. And that's where we'll hold the Kuzari for today.